Today is the first Sunday of the month, and it's our Thanksgiving service. I want us to rise on our feet and let us just worship God. If that is all we can do, there have been a lot of testimonies as to the goodness of God. People have testified how good and how great God has been in their lives. I want us to worship Him. Let's just prepare our hearts and just worship the Lord. Lord, You are so good. Lord, You are kind. Lord, You are wonderful. My Lord, You are excellent. Lord, You are so good. Lord, You are kind. Lord, You are wonderful. My Lord, You are excellent. Excellent is Your name. Excellent is Your power. Lord, You are wonderful. My Lord, You are excellent. Excellent, excellent is Your name. Excellent is Your power. Father, touch me by your word. Just touch my life. Touch my life with your word. Change my destiny for good with your word. Give me a hope and a future by reason of your word. Change my life, oh God. Change my situation. Change my situation. Change my story. Bless me, oh Lord, like never before. Align my life with you, oh God. I want to walk in tandem with you, Lord. Father, touch me. Tell God you surrender your heart to your life. Have your way in my life. I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my faculties to you, Lord. Have your way. 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 In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we give you all glory and all praise. We welcome your presence into this place. We thank you for the setting free of your people. Lord, everyone in captivity, they are released today in the name of Jesus. Every chain that is holding you captive in your thoughts, in your imaginations, every physical constraint in your life, by reason of the presence of the living God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you are set free today in the name of Jesus. Your story will definitely change from today in the name of Jesus. From today, you bear good news in the name of Jesus. From today, your life changes for the better in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. God bless you. We are all welcome to the presence of the Almighty God. And I want to tell you that all the testimonies that we have given today and all the things people have said about God is simply because of the mercy of God in our lives. It is not because we are better than other people. It is simply because God has shown us mercy. So by the special grace of God, God has led me to share with you something that I believe will change your life. Something that I believe will change the course of where you are going right now and take you to a place where you'll be at peace with God for the rest of your life in Jesus' name. I want to speak to us about living in mercy. Living in mercy. Mercy trumps judgment. Mercy surpasses every other thing. If you ask me how I would love to live my life, I would love to live my life in mercy. Because if you have the mercy of God in your life, you've got everything. All that we need to be accomplished and to make eternity is what? The mercy of God. That is why I want to believe God has led me to share the word, the message, living in mercy with you. And I want you to open your Bible to Psalm 33 verse 22. Psalm 33 verse 22, We will do as much as we can today. He said, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. The mercy of God will be upon you today in Jesus' name. The mercy of God will never leave you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to start with my own definition of what I think mercy is. I don't know what definition you've got. I didn't check this from the dictionary, but this is the definition that God has given me to share with the church. Mercy is to get a better deal than you deserve or than you are entitled to. Mercy is what makes you to get a better deal than what you actually deserve or that you are entitled to. In other words, there can be a group of people who do the same thing, and everyone has a reasonable awareness or knowledge of what people get when they do what this group of people do. But someone, perhaps two, out of that group will get a different result. They get an exponential result that surpasses the input that they are putting. That is mercy. The other definition I have for mercy is that is to be pardoned, set free, or saved from the penalty of one's wrong. That is, not getting the punishment you rightly deserve. To be pardoned, to be set free, or to be saved from the penalty of something that one has done wrong. So in other words, it is very clear that the individual is wrong. It is very clear that they have been found guilty. But by divine providence, not because they have been absolved of blame, they are actually blameworthy. They deserve the punishment if it is meted out to them. Yet, God, by His mercy, chooses to save the individual or prevent them from bearing the consequences of their actions. And I want to believe that when we look at these two definitions, many of us will fall into that category. I am one of them. That God has not dealt with me according to my iniquities, and that God has saved me, and I was heading towards a particular direction, and God changed the trajectory of my journey and brought me to Himself. To be able to stand before you and to declare the goodness of God, I'm telling you, is the mercy of God. You will partake of that mercy from today in the name of Jesus. When we talk about God's mercy, a lot of people misunderstand it, and they think that the mercy of God is not conditional. A lot of people don't want to hear this. But it has to be said. People just think that the mercy of God is not conditional for us to receive mercy. There are certain things that we need to be aware of. And as we hear them today, that will change our story for good in the name of Jesus. In other words, how do we get mercy? We've said if we are going to choose anything at all in this world, is to choose what? The mercy of God. The first thing that we need to be aware of is that God decides who to show mercy to. That is the first thing that we need to be aware of, that God alone decides who he will show mercy to. He will decide to show you mercy today in the name of Jesus. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33 verse 19. He says, and God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, before you. For I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy and loving kindness on whom I will show mercy and loving kindness. In other words, he said, look, I will proclaim my name before you. In other words, I will show you that I am the Lord. We have looked at what it means to be the Lord. The Lord means somebody who is in control, somebody who is in charge, somebody who decides, somebody who sets the agenda, somebody who can make it come to pass, somebody who can do and undo, somebody who has the reign in his hand. That is the Lord. He said to Moses, he said, I will show you that I am the Lord by reason of my presence. God will show you his lordship by reason of his presence in your life in Jesus' name. And he now went ahead to tell Moses, he said, look, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. You begin to operate in the mercy of the Lord in Jesus' name. When we realize that God alone has the ability to show mercy to whom he will show mercy, do you know what is going to happen to us? We will seek to be in favor with him. In Psalm 30 verse 5, the Bible says, in his favor is what? His life. And then he then said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. In other words, when you are in God's favor, you have life. And it is to you that your weeping will now bring joy in the morning. There are some people who will weep in the night. There will be no joy for them in the morning. It is only the people who live in the favor and the mercy of God that are assured of mercy, of joy in the morning. In his favor is life. If you know that God has the exclusive right to choose to show mercy to whom he will show mercy, why would you want to fall out of favor with God? Because only him decides. It is not based on how crafty we are. It is not based on how wise we are. It is not based on how much sacrifice we can give him. It is not based on anything. It is based on whom he chooses to show mercy to. And look, if I know that kind of man, I want to be in his good books. Many of us know the things we will do. If we know the director of a big company and we want a job there, you know the kind of things we will do. We will bend over backwards to please such a person. Maybe we want to talk to them about maybe a family member or somebody. We know that one day they will be able to be of help to us. We know the way we go around such people, because we know if they favor us, if they show us favor, that it will change our lives. How much more God? How much more God, who controls even such powerful people? Because look, there is no authority without God. He alone decides who he will show mercy to. We have to try to live in his favor in order to enjoy his mercy. So if there anything, whatever you are going to do, whatever is going to cost you, remain in favor with God in order to enjoy mercy. Remain in what? In favor with God, irrespective of what it may cost you. The other condition for God showing mercy is that he shows mercy to people who love him. He shows mercy to the people who do what? Who love him. People who love God, they will benefit from the mercy of God. And how do you know that you love God? How will you know that you love God? Let's go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. The book of Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. He says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and do what? And keep my commandments. Another version says, but showing mercy and steadfast love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You will know you love God when you start to do his will. We will know we love God when we start to do the will of God. That is how we know that we love God. And the Bible tells us that those who enjoy the mercy of God are the people who love him to the extent that they are willing to set aside their own will and do the will of God. People who love God so much so that they are willing to forgo things, their own pleasure, in order to please God. You see, when we talk about love, because it's a very pleasant word compared to the word hate, we think love is easy. Love is not easy. Do you know why love is not easy? Because it costs something. Every love will cost you something. If you love somebody, it will always cost you something. You cannot say you love somebody without it costing you something. Many of us, when we talk about cost, we think in terms of big, big things. It starts from the small things. It starts from keeping them in mind. In other words, it means you are sharing your time with them. You are sharing your private moment with them. They may not be there. Because you have them in mind, you don't have time to... You see, the time you are going to be thinking about them, you are not going to be thinking about yourself. It means you are already sharing something that should belong to you with them. If we love somebody, that's the person we will pray for. Remember, I was telling you, I said, if you are praying for the church, I will know. Because you will be passionate about it. Because if someone is not worthwhile, you are not likely to want to start praying for that person. Praise the Lord. It means you are willing to invest your time. Part of the thing that love costs us is our pride. When we love somebody, we are ready to forbear and forgo. We are not afraid to be cheated by them. In quote, I'm not saying they are going to deliberately cheat you, but they are not likely to be the person you are going to make sure that, look, you don't want, you can't, you see, you want to take advantage of me. No, you, love costs something. Love can be very painful. Let me tell you something. If you love somebody, sometimes because of them, you may not be able to sleep at night. Because you care about them. You love your wife, it will cost you something. You love your husband, it will cost you something. You love your children, it will cost you heartache. Praise the Lord. And do you know something? The reason why love costs so much is because there are no two people who can ever be the same. Even if we are the same mom, the same dad, we can never think alike in everything. I've told us before that even in marriage, God talks about oneness, but not sameness. Praise the Lord. We one, but we are never the same. Love will cost. Loving God will also cost us something. It will cost us our time. It will cost us our energy. It will cost... Look, because we want to be in His presence. Because we want to be in His presence. Because we want to be in His favor. We will forgo things. I was just reading how Jesus was telling His disciples, you know, when they tried to pray for this young man and the demon would not go. And Jesus said, how be it? This type does not go except by prayer and fasting. In other words, look, we are the type who, we are the people that God expects to be waiting because of the love for Him to see His name glorified. We'll be waiting, we'll pray, we'll fast to see His glory made manifest in the life of other people. That is love. And God says He will show mercy to them that love Him. Will you be a lover of God? I say, will you be a lover of God? Then you are entitled to God's mercy. You will receive mercy in Jesus' name. So loving God is actually doing His will. Loving God is about doing the will of God. You cannot say you know God if you don't obey His commandment. It's in 3 John, I think, chapter 3. 1 John, chapter 3. You see, how can you say you know God if you don't do His will? That is the hallmark of knowing that you know God and that you love Him. In order to benefit from the mercy of God, we need to confess and forsake our sins. I've touched on this before. Proverbs 28:13. A lot of people are not cognizant of this particular part. Proverbs 28:13. Is a principle we have to live by. It says, he who covers his transgressions will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes his sin will obtain mercy. In other words, when we have got it wrong with God, God is saying it is not enough to smoothen it over and pretend as if nothing has happened. God says there are two conditions to us obtaining mercy when we are not living right with Him. Of course, we need to have recognized that we are not living right with God. Then, the Bible says we have to do what? Confess. To say with our own mouth that, God, I know I have done wrong. I know I have blown it. I know that I'm not living right. I know that this is not what you intend for me. And the Bible says, after we have done that, we don't just sit there. The Bible says we do what? We forsake. What is it to forsake? To say no more. After confessing, we also forsake. He said, whoever will do that, we do what? We receive mercy. Because I want us to open to the book of 1 John chapter 1. The book of 1 John, not the gospel according to St. John, but 1 John 1, 8 to 10, what it says. Mercy. We're talking about mercy. Living in mercy. lot of times we think that to live in mercy means to keep doing the same thing and not changing our ways and just simply saying, look, God is merciful. God is saying we have to confess, we have to forsake in order to receive mercy. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, the word confess is there again. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10. This is where it gets tough. This is where it gets tough. Maybe a lot of people haven't been looking at it that way. He said, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Who dare call God a liar? So it's not just that we live in sin, then we are actually trying to make God a liar when we say we don't have sin and simply smoothing it over. But when we confess and we forsake, the Bible says he is so good a God that he will forgive us. And then we can live in mercy. And you know, the good thing is that it shows mercy up to 1,000 generations to them that love him and do his commandments. You will belong to those group to that group in Jesus' name. I say you belong to that group in the name of Jesus. Another way we obtain mercy is by praying for mercy. Praying for mercy and humbling ourselves. When we pray for mercy, so it has to be something that we deliberately do, praying for the mercy of God upon our lives. In fact, we must not allow, you see, a day to pass by without asking for the mercy of God. Mercy. 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 Pray for the mercy of God upon your family, upon your home, over your health, over your business, over your endeavors, your going out, your coming in. Pray for the mercy of God. In Psalm 9 verse 13, the psalmist cried unto the Lord, say, have mercy upon me, O Lord, consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death. He cried, and you will see, the psalmist will always cry to God and say, God, have mercy. Blind Bartimaeus, his story changed. Why did his story change? Because he cried for mercy. Say, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thou son of David. And everyone saying, keep quiet. Say, no, one thing I know to say, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the mercy of God came to him, as the mercy of God will come to you today in the name of Jesus. Let's always cry for mercy. Let's cry for mercy. Because if we are not careful, we'll slip into the realm of thinking that we just know how to do it. We think it's because we are living so right. We think it's because we are doing it so right. We have to cry for mercy. Mercy. He will visit you with his mercy today in Jesus' name. Another way to obtain mercy is for you yourself to show mercy. If you are going to enjoy the mercy of God, you must be ready to do what? To show mercy. Because those who show mercy will receive what? Mercy. It's the law of sowing and reaping. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Let not remove mercy from our Christianity. Christianity without mercy is not Christianity. Because it is by the mercy of God that we are where we are ourselves. Recently, somebody visited us and we were talking about this system. How good it is, because, I mean, everything is done to the letter, you know. You do this, you get this. It's standard. You know what the consequences are for your actions. But then we said, there's completely no human face. In other words, there is no mercy. Mercy is one of the attributes of God. Once mercy is out of the equation, that attribute of God is been thrown out of the window. As God shows us mercy, He will fill our hearts with mercy today in Jesus' name. Another way to enjoy mercy is to come under the agenda of God to show the world mercy. You come under the agenda of God. God has an agenda to show the world mercy. When you come under His agenda, then you will receive mercy. What do I mean? First of all, let's open to Romans chapter 11 verse 32. Romans 11 verse 32. God has an agenda to show the world mercy, because the Bible says God does not delight in the death of sinners, but that they repent and come to the knowledge of Him. Romans 11:32. He said, For God had concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all. He was talking about the children of Israel. How they missed it. How they walk in unbelief. But the Bible said, their unbelief, the way they walk, was walking according to the plan of God, so that God might spread the good news to everyone else. And everyone who will walk in that agenda, everyone who will be part of that agenda, will receive mercy. How do we become part of the agenda? We must be a people who are passionate about someone else knowing about Christ. Because God wants to show them mercy. Remember the things we have talked about? If somebody has not heard about Jesus, how will he confess his sin and forsake them? How will he cry to God for mercy? How will he pray for mercy? We have to be part of God's agenda to show the world mercy. Number 7, which is the beat we are going to talk more about, maybe not necessarily today, is to have hope in God. This is the place we just read today. So, having hope in God engenders God's mercy in our lives. The book of Psalms, chapter 33, verse 22, that we read. Let's go back to it. Having hope in God brings mercy upon us. He said, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. In other words, this is my understanding of it. In other words, the mercy of God has no limit. The mercy of God has no limit.
What determines the extent of the mercy of God you are going to enjoy in your life is what? The amount of hope you place in God. It's one of the most important factors that will determine the extent of the mercy that God will show you. The amount of hope you place in Him. So, hope in God is one of the determinants of how much mercy you will receive from God according to this verse. So, there's no limit to His mercy. Our hope is the limiting factor. We spent about 2 or 3 Sunday schools talking about hope the other time. You can see one of the things that hope will buy you is the mercy of God. Hoping, not just hoping in the world system, not hoping in man, not hoping in your ability, not hoping in your devices, not hoping, but hoping in who? In God. Because God takes note of people who hope in Him, and He will never let them be put to shame. As you hope in Him, you will not be put to shame in the name of Jesus. You will know when you are hoping in God. There are a few things you will see in the lives of people who hope in God. Or there are ways you will know when you hope in God. I will just touch on one because the time is almost time for us to close. People who hope in God will show a level of commitment that is commensurate with their hope in God. Then you can say, who have I in this world but you? Who else can do it in my life? I have no one else to do it for me. The amount of hope you place in Him will determine the level of your commitment to Him. Is that not true? It's very common, even in the world. The amount of hope you have in something will determine how you treat that thing. I tell people, I say, look, if you have one friend, and every time, you know, you, your friend, and yourself, you have misunderstanding, you find out that as long as that is the only friend you've got, things will settle. You go, both of you will come back and settle. But as soon as somebody comes between you two, that's why the Yoruba says, if there's no crack in the wall, the lizard cannot go inside. As soon as you have an alternative, if care is not taken, that is when you will remember what they have done wrong 10 years ago. What they did wrong 3 years ago, what they did wrong 2 years ago, what they did wrong last month, what they did wrong all the time, because your attention has shifted, your commitment level has shifted. When we have hope in God and the totality of our hope is placed in Him, we will show Him a high level of commitment. In other words, if you are no longer showing commitment to God, it means you are placing your hope on something else. Psalm 37 verse 5. Psalm 37 verse 5. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit to the Lord. Commit to the Lord. Commit your life to the Lord. In fact, Peter was even bolder. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 19. Peter was bolder in saying it. In terms of the level of commitment that we have to give to God, he was even more forthright. He was even more, you know, he was even bolder and just said, look. He said, wherefore let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well doing, as unto a faithful Creator. And I just like this. He said, commit your soul to God. In what? In well doing. In other words, you don't turn back from doing well. You continue. When you make commitment to God, you continue to do what is good and what is right. Your level of commitment is shown Or the level of hope you have in him will determine your level of commitment to him. No wonder the psalmist says, I am glad when they say, let us go to the house of the Lord. Because he knows that's where, you see, that's where he has hope. You want to hear people come to church? You know, not because they are hungry to hear what God has to say that will change their lives, change their situation, that will, you see, that will give them a new direction for their lives. In Psalm 92, verse 13 and 14, he said, they that be planted in the house of the Lord, they that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Commitment. Those who are committed to God will flourish. You will flourish in Jesus' name. I remember the preacher last week talked about being planted, being committed. And the English word, there's an English saying that comes to mind. It says, a rolling stone gathers no moss. Many of us are young now. We don't do proverbs anymore. Huh? Those of us in those days who used to read Student Companion, you know those sections. Eh? I'm sure many of us read Student Companion. If you didn't read the proverb, you read this other one. Small word, big words. Praise God. So, you see, we used to have some prefects. They will read the small word, and then read the big word. And so when they come to roll call in the house, you see, they speak English. They will not speak the small word. They will be speaking the big, big words. Praise the Lord. But a rolling stone gathers no moss. So those who are not planted in the house of the Lord cannot flourish because the blessings of God cannot be upon their lives. The blessing of God will be upon your life in Jesus' name. The level of our commitment to God is shown by how much hope we place in God. When you don't think you've got alternative, you will see, you'll be desperate. How many of us have been in that situation before? I have been in that situation. Many of us will be in that situation. We've done it before. So why is it less now? Is it because we've got alternatives? Is it because we have something else that has replaced God in our lives? We've prayed desperately before. How many of us have prayed with tears in our eyes before? I have prayed that prayer before. Desperate prayers. Because I just had no alternative. I had no one else. I had no one else who would do it for me but God. That is the level that God wants us to be operating in every day as our source. Can we just rise up, please? That level of commitment. That first love. The way we used to know him. I'm passionate about him. We have to rekindle that love. It surpasses everything. What is too much to give up for him? Commitment. It will cost us something. Can you just speak to the Lord right now? I don't know what your situation is. That thing that you need to give up because you love God. Because you want to show commitment to him, can you just speak to the Lord right now? That thing you need to give up, give it up right now. Because in his favor is life. In his favor is life. In other words, if you are out of favor with God, it's death. In his favor is life. Whatever we need to give up, why don't we give it up? Make commitment to the Lord right now. Say, Father, I surrender it all. I surrender all. I surrender. I surrender it all. Just like we sang this morning, say, Lord, I surrender it all. That thing that is paining you, that thing that is causing you sleepless night, that thing that is troubling you, roll it to the Lord right now because you have a greater commitment to God than what you have to this world. Speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord. That thing that troubles you. That thing you think you cannot part with, but because you have a greater commitment to the Lord, let it slide, let it go. Because you are committed to a greater cause. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but this word you have heard will never pass away. It will accomplish the purpose for which God has sent it forth into your life today. And my prayer is that this word will justify you in Jesus' name. Let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. Let the peace of God. Remember, the condition for mercy is to show mercy. The condition for mercy is to show mercy. Ask God for mercy this morning. Just ask God for mercy this morning and say, Lord, I'm ready to let it go and I will show mercy in the name of Jesus. I'm ready to let it go and I want to be committed to you. Nothing is too big, nothing is too small. Father, I want your mercy. Because another condition for mercy from God is to love him and obey his commandment. You have heard what he has to say. Do you love him enough to give it up? For the mercy of God upon your life. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Our Daddy and our God, we have heard you speak. Lord, we would rather walk in your mercy than any other thing. Because in your favor is life. My Daddy and my God, everyone who has heard me today, they will begin to enjoy your mercy in the name of Jesus. Every condition in our lives that will not allow us to enjoy your mercy, I nail it to the cross on the Calvary in the name of Jesus. Every situation or circumstance in our lives that will separate us from your mercy, oh God. My Lord and my God, the Bible says that love is as strong as death. I cause there to be a separation between us and that situation in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you. Lord, we declare our love for you. Lord, we declare our love for you. Lord, we declare our love for you. Therefore, every sacrifice we need to make, we make them from today in the name of Jesus. Visit us mightily. Visit us greatly in our homes, in our lives, in our jobs, in our health, because we now live in mercy in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Let's share the grace in fellowship.